It's time for our weekly check-in with the humanities. In our Ideas Matter segment, we learn about the work being done by the Humanities Councils in our seven-state listening area. Today, we check in with Mass Humanities and learn about commemorating the 150th anniversary of Juneteenth and the end of slavery in the United States. Amilcar Shabazz is a professor in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of African American Studies and faculty advisor for diversity and excellence in the Office of Chancellor at UMass Amherst. Dr. Shabazz, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here.
Thank you. I really appreciate you joining us and talking about the work of the humanities and, of course, specifically about Juneteenth. What do you think that most of us, because I'll be honest, I growing up, did not learn a tremendous amount about Juneteenth. It seems as though that is changing. So when did that occurrence and sort of the understanding of Juneteenth and the acceptance and education of it really start to kick in and begin in this country?
Great, Joe. I would say very quickly, about 50 years ago, the more widespread or the beginning of a more widespread celebration and commemoration and acknowledgement and teaching about Juneteenth is really a product of the 60s. It's a product of the civil rights marches. It's a product of those struggles for black empowerment that go in the 60s and into the 70s. And so it's really shaped and propelled by that social force, that social movement. But what I'd like to just detour for a moment is to mark with the tragic killings of the people in Charleston, South Carolina. This is an opportunity. Juneteenth becomes an opportunity to kind of really reflect on those social forces that propel change. Because when the four little girls were killed, you know, this country understood that things had to change. And it was out of that momentum of really, even while we began to understand the change, note this, no one was arrested, no one was prosecuted, no one was ever sent to jail, even though they knew who the killers were. White people, the authorities at the time, would not arrest or care to prosecute or incarcerate the killers. And that's just 50 years ago. Now, fast forward to today. Man goes in, sick, whatever, goes in, kills nine people. It's a white person, makes the call, that has him captured instantly and taken into custody. So, you know, things have changed, and it's the propulsion of that social force of the civil rights movement, of the human rights movements in the world of in the 60s, and that really brought the acknowledgement of Juneteenth to become more widespread.
What does it say, just staying in that theme for a moment, what does it say, though, about a culture that brings up a young man in this case to have, as we are told in the reports from this morning, the desire to start a race war? How much of that is the culture that he has brought up either in that family, in that state, in our nation?
Well, it is about the nurture. It is about the culture. It is about the circumstances in which people are coming up in this world today with so much war going on. And I think that's really all the way in the Middle East with Muslims. You know, young Muslim child, it's nothing in her nature or his nature or that child's nature to want to kill Jews or Christians or kill anybody. There's nothing in their nature that wants that. That comes about because, you know, of the circumstance, of the culture, of what's going on in with all the war and drones and bombs and suicide missions, that Scud missile, you know, that's what produces then someone that could have that kind of sickness, that kind of pathology, that kind of let me start a race war and kill people in a church on a Wednesday night at Bible school. Bible study. It is. You're right there. It is about the cult, what we're nurturing. And in a world of war, in conditions of war, we're nurturing war. We're nurturing the worst in the human experience, in human beings. And that's why it's a time to push for peace. And the reflection on Juneteenth is a reflection on the struggle for peace and progress in the world.
What do you think episodes like this ultimately allow us to explore and to think? I mean, we've been talking on this program today about, even looking at what happened in Sandy Hook, and to say, if there was an incident or an event that was going to result in meaningful change, it would seem as though it would be the slaughter of young children in a school. So when you have something like this happen, you again have to ask the question, okay, if this doesn't do it, of people who are in a place of worship,
yeah,
who are in the most peaceful place, doing the most peaceful thing imaginable,
yeah,
are going to be killed, then what is the meaning that we can take from that and the lesson that we can learn from that can prevent it from ever happening again?
Profound question, and a profound point within the question. It's we can only hope and we can only work to make it that kind of a profound moment. The same as the moment of the four little girls being killed at Sunday school in Birmingham. The same as, any time there's this kind of just senseless, tragic, and as you say, the place of it all comes to mind. It really, hopefully, is something that sticks, because, we've had the killings, we've had the unfortunate slaughter of people going on around us all the time, every day, intensifying. It's, to a place where we should be really outraged and pushed to begin to say, no mas. We got to find some other kind of way and really work toward that. Peace processes at the international level, and maybe it is all exercise and futility, but I'm speaking of Iran now and the nuclear centrifuges or whatever. And then we got people don't want to see that process possibly move forward in any kind of way. They don't trust it, or they don't think it's a proper process. But and what's the alternative? Well, it's just got to be war. It's got to be killing. It's got to be the slaughter of people. Is the only way to win future peace or whatever. So yes, we've got to take every moment, every opportunity, and if this is the one that begins to spark a renewed sense of, let's work for change. Let's demand that of ourselves, that we're going to work to increase the peace. Then I say right on to it. Let's make it happen. But the tragedy for me is it's all the time. It's continuous. Even if this plays out in the news cycle, in a couple of weeks, and then bounces in again into our consciousness again when he goes to trial, even though he's confessed, they still have to put him through a trial, and we'll talk about it some more, and then, he'll go, and then he'll get a date to be put to death if that's what occurs, and then we'll all, come back into our consciousness again when he's put to death. And so, there it goes, like Timothy McVeigh, there it goes, like, the Tranias brothers and guy in Boston. It'll be the same thing. But I hope it's more than that. I hope it's not about just how it's driven in social media and the radio and television and so forth, but rather it becomes something that sticks with us and sticks in our hearts, sticks in our craw, as it were, yeah, to make this demand change.
I do want to ask you, Dr. Shabazz. Actually, are you on a speakerphone? I'm just.
I am on a. Should I take that off?
If you could, just because you're saying beautiful things, and I'd love for everyone to hear them, if that is okay. We are talking to Amilcar Shabazz, who's a professor in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of African American Studies and faculty advisor for diversity and excellence in the Office of Chancellor.
Okay, I'm back with you.
Excellent. You sound great. As I said, you were saying beautiful things. We didn't want to miss them in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
You know, so you look at Juneteenth, and you look at the celebration that goes on as a result of Juneteenth, and for 150 years, and we have been celebrating. And I guess the point to be made here, it seems that the point that you want to make is that, yes, and especially in light of what has just happened, we need to celebrate, but we also need to reflect and take stock so we know what we can celebrate in the future.
Well, let me pick up on that to say absolutely celebrate. I called that a detour because really Juneteenth is, I have something original for you. Juneteenth is a point. Juneteenth is a portal, a watery passageway into the spirit. It is a renewal, a rebirth. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, or where it is going. Juneteenth is a celebration of the spirit. It's a rebirth of the spirit of a people who had come through one of the darkest passages in the human experience of chattel slavery for hundreds of years, and the transatlantic slave trade, and had come through that watery death to be reborn as free, as a free people, as free human beings. And they took that day for themselves and made it a day to renew themselves. So it's a party, man. It's barbecue and soda pop and fellowship and getting together with your friends, and even with, you know, the ongoing terrible things that may be happening around you, it's a time to just kind of say, oh yes, Lord, let's say a prayer for that, but then let's go and get some barbecue and dance and listen to music and get into the sound, because we know not where it comes from. And we know not where it's going. It's a beautiful day, man, and I hope people are will have a good time today. And even where we've got this ineffable sadness and this ineffable tragedies going on around us, that we can still find the opportunity for mirth. We can still we can still create happiness for ourselves and offer loving kindness to each other.
What does the growing popularity of Juneteenth and the fact that there are so many more celebrations taking place across our region and across the country signify that our level of maturity and dignity in this country, that we're looking and saying, okay, it is time to celebrate this?
Well, that's funny because I think partly it's Texans circulating. So I'm from Texas, and I've been in Massachusetts, and so we sparked it up. Around in Amherst, Massachusetts, it sparked up in Springfield, and it's almost as though as soon as you talk about it, and especially when you emphasize it's about having fun and, you know, enjoying the advent of summer and all of that, you know, people say, yeah, well, that's a good idea, let's do it. So I think it's a very contagious kind of idea when people get into it, when they see it, when they make it happen for themselves and come together, whether on the 19th itself or across the weekend. I know people in places, they're going to be jamming on the 20th, on Saturday. They'll be doing things on Sunday. So it's just to take a day, take a time, and, you know, under this history, or within this historical framework of the celebration of emancipation, of the culmination of a battle against a certain kind of slavery in the world. You know, that we're under that important and beautiful umbrella, but then it's an opportunity to then just connect. It's an opportunity for connection. It's an opportunity for love and happiness and having a good time. So it has caught on, and I feel it's going to continue to grow.
Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. It's celebrating its 150th anniversary today. Dr. Amilcar Shabazz of UMass Amherst, I thank you so much for joining and sharing with us, and your beautiful words. I thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
Great pleasure to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.